Chapter 51 Lyria Jade Witch. Volga crouches over a man in the gloom, pumping at his chest. She gives up, sits back on her heels and looks at me in weariness. Lyria, what is it?
I don't know. I shake my head, unable to find the words. Did it really happen? I'd think myself mad if my nostril wasn't all cut up and bloody. Is the squid thing in my brain? What does it mean that I'm the figment? What duty am I not to report for? How do I explain that a little monster just exploded out of fig into my nostril? It's inside me. Whatever it is, it spoke to me. It's silent now. There's no pain. Just the sound of wind and the creaking of metal and huge trees all around us. The world itself feels evil. Fig's dead, I finally say.
Impossible.
I take her to Fig. Volga hunches over her body, feeling for the woman's pulse. She puts her ear to her heart, flicks her nose, pulls up her eyelids, slaps her.
She is dead.
Yeah, good thing you checked.
Nothing is obvious with Fig.
Before I can say anything, Volga takes a knife she must have found in the wreckage and sticks it into Fig's eye.
What are you doing? Stop that,
I say, shoving at her. Volga looks offended.
Quicksilver put a huge bounty on Fig, she says, going back to her grisly work. She stole something from him. But the contract is a money. It requires ocular proof.
She digs out the eyeball and sets to work on the other.
Have you seen the orb she had, or the bag?
I shake my head.
Her pistol?
I don't reply. Sickened, I leave the ship and stand outside, touching the small gash Fig's metal squid thing opened under my nostril when it went into my nose. Quicksilver was hunting Fig. Why? Is it in the bag, the case? Or inside me? Would Volga cut it out of me if she knew I had it? Does she even know it exists?
A dangerous customer.
That's what Fig called Volga. She wasn't lying. Just because Volga helped me escape doesn't mean she's a friend. All those letters were just a way for her to pass the time. She's a right savage when there's money laying on the ground. Or in someone's eye sockets. Volga soon joins me with Fig's bag over her shoulder, carrying Fig's black orb.
It is just business, she says, not understanding my mood. She was already dead.
I don't say anything as she tries to open the case. Finding the effort futile, she finds a pistol on one of the bodies and shoots the orb. The metal is left without a scratch. Volga frowns, but an unusual ringing fills the air, morphing over time until it seems the orb whispers to me.
What's in there? I ask.
I do not know. Maybe what she stole. It might be very valuable.
Dozens are dead around us, and she's after something valuable. I have to get away from her. I have to get away from this crash, from these people. I have to get back to Liam. There's a high-pitched humming sound in my head that I can't shake. Not the whispering of the orb, something else. At first, I thought it was hearing damage. I dig a finger in my ear to clear it. If anything, the humming grows louder. It's not coming from my head. It's coming from the forest.
You hear that, I ask.
Volga shakes her head.
You're supposed to have predator ears. You don't hear that at all.
She pries at the case with her knife.
Maybe you hit your head.
I wander toward the tree line. The sound is coming from the forest. Volga calls after me and jogs to keep up as I start to follow it. The humming grows louder the deeper I go, and I can see a faint rippling in the air, sort of like hot air above a stove. There's broken branches now,
trees shattered high above our heads. A ripwing must have crashed here. Entering a shadowy thicket where the trees have exploded from impact, I find a fallen tree trunk with a pair of green metal feet sticking out from under it. The humming is so loud I have to plug my ears.
Fig, a woman calls.
The humming dies.
Took you long enough. Been calling for half a gory hour.
On the other side of the tree, Victra lies on her back, pushing at the tree trunk with both hands. It strapped both her legs under it. Had it fallen just a quarter metre higher, it would have crushed the baby in her belly. The trapped gold glares up at us from under a mess of short golden hair. Her eyes flash with anger. I jump back in fright so hard I smash into Volga and fall to the ground. When I scramble up, Victra is laughing. Just my gory luck. Sevres is right. Cockroaches will inherit the worlds.
Julii, Volga exclaims. It's Barker. God, can no one get it right? It makes him so sensitive. Where's Fig? Where are my men?
I grab a tree branch from the ground, as if I'm going to hit her on the head with it. Then I see Victra's pulse fist a ways off in the snow. I rush to it and insert my hand into the huge metal glove.
Vroom!
It powers on, and I point it at her head. The energy it holds shakes my arm.
Gods, it's heavy.
Go on, little girl. Vox, Syndicate, Atalantia, those freaks, everyone wants a piece of me. Take a bite. See if you don't choke.
Lyria, don't, Volga says, stepping in my path. You can't shoot her.
Move.
This is not you.
How the hell would you know? Because of a few letters?
Lyria, I know. You do not want to shoot her.
My arm is aching from holding the heavy pulse fist.
She tortured you and me. Put us in a dungeon, right? Let's make sure...
Victra laughs from the ground. Dungeon? You mean Electra's playroom? We're just under 1 millimetre tall to her. I gave those rooms to Electra when she turned 4. She said our sophists were boring, and my mother did it to me, and look how I turned out.
She makes a small face.
Though there was Antonia, wasn't there? But we sorted that. Her smile is one part satisfaction, another part pride. Electra solved the puzzle in 13 days. Slower than me, of course, but far faster than her father, and, a little secret between us girls, part of me thinks she liked that a bit. The little harpy. Anyway, if I were really torturing you, you'd go mad. Just ask my husband.
A playroom?
Now Fig's display makes sense. I feel about 1 millimetre tall.
You saw what it did to us, Volga says.
Yes, well, a little friction never hurt anyone's character. Seemed to do you wonders. If you were this bloodthirsty last year, your family might still be... A surge of anger goes through me, and I fire the pulse fist at the ground near Victra's head. I'm thrown backward by the recoil and almost drop the weapon. Victra didn't even flinch. She yawns as steam from the melted snow clouds around her.
God, you reds are dramatic.
Volga takes the weapon from me.
She is pregnant. I will not be evil.
Evil, I snap. You just plucked out Fig's eyeballs.
She was already dead. She did not need them.
Figment's dead, Victra says. Shit. Well, there's 30 million credits wasted. I'll miss her sparkling personality. A thought comes to her. Who was with her when she died? Volga nods to me. Victra's eyes fixate. Does she know about the parasite?
Thanks, I say to Volga.
You were, though.
Why would you tell her anything?
Not to be rude, but would you two mind bickering some other time and help me get this colossal tree off my legs? My men will be homing on our signal, but it's hardly dignified to be found lying on my back like a beached whale. I'll never hear the end of it.
We're not helping you, I say. Volga looks like she wants to.
Where are your other daughters? She asks.
Safe.
You're not helping her, I say.
Volga turns on me, a low growl in her voice.
You do not control me. I will do what I think is right.
And you're going to help this bitch? What happened to it not being our battle?
Volga says nothing. Darling, don't be such a mule. I understand you are so oppressed, Victra says, but let's not be sanctimonious. You stole my daughter, both of you, and I was decent enough to arrange a transfer to that grey friend of yours when he didn't even stipulate you needed to be in one piece. By any measure, I'm positively benevolent. You were both on your way to being obsidian pets until those things took my ship.
Eskimani, Volga corrects.
Maybe, Victra says.
It was them, Volga insists.
Victra's eyes suggest she agrees.
They knew my name.
Victra frowns, not completely surprised. What does she know? My point is, the least you can do is help me preserve some vestige of reputation by getting this gory damn tree off my gory damn legs, she says. If you want money for it, that's no problem. What's your price?
Money can't solve everything, I tell her.
Wrong, but whatever. I bend down close as I dare to her.
It won't help you here. Try some dignity. In the end, it's all you have.
Her smile for me is cold. I do love circularity, but when my men get here, maybe we just leave you.
I don't need your help, and I don't need Ephraim to trade for me, I tell her, and stalk back to the ship. Volga catches up with me.
Where are you going, Lyria? She asks.
Not your problem.
Her men are coming. If we wait here, we will be safe.
How can she say that when Victra's men couldn't even protect us from the Eskimani in the heart of her flagship? If they come here,
I shake my head.
We owe her a debt, Volga presses.
I paid mine in that cell. So did you. You think she's helpless because she's packing a baby? She's a peerless scarred, you idiot.
I am not an idiot, Volga says, offended.
You really want to get tangled with them. Is that what Ephraim would want you to do?
Ephraim is broken. I could run from that up there, but if I run from this...
She shakes her head, then raises it high. My debt will be paid when I return her child to her.
She sets a hand on my shoulder.
Do it with me.
I look at Volga's knife tucked into her waistband. The blood from Fig's eyes seeps through their hiding place in her shirt. She thinks she'll get rich off this.
Fool.
Hope she gives you all the money you ever wanted. Unlike you, I'm not for sale.
I leave her.
Soon I've packed half the supplies I found in the wreckage and donned a set of grey thermal pants from a supply locker. With my feet slipping around in the two large boots of some dead grey, I start walking south, away from the crash site. Part of me waits for Volga to catch up with me.
She doesn't.
All that lies before me is stone and icy sludge, a vast landscape that would swallow me without anyone noticing.
This isn't home.
This is the first time I've felt truly alone since replying to Volga's note. How does that already seem a lifetime ago?
I look back at the ship. It's little more than a dot now. I don't have a plan, but I don't want to be saved by Victor's men. I don't want to be traded back to Ephraim and owe him for the favour. I'd rather freeze to death trying to go it on my own.
Walking along the fjord, I see several ships skimming just over the dark water down below as they head for the crash site. They're little more than dots at this distance. That'll be Victra's men. Takes me almost a minute to figure out how to turn on the oculars I foraged.
When I've got them working, I focus on the lead ship. I roll the magnifier. Ship looks like a pelican, one of those old transports with those round bodies and slightly curved wings. A bit less stately than I'd expect for a Gold's rescue party. No Julii or Barker insignia either. I switch to the next one. Another pelican, older. On its side is painted the face of a pink model drinking a bottle of ambrosia. I pause. Its lights blaze just as they did that day when my family was butchered. I turn and run back across the plateau. I'm dizzy from exhaustion by the time I find Volga near the crash site, helping Victra out of her battered armour. Volga smiles at me. I knew you would come back. Red Hand! I gasp for air. Red Hand is coming! Volga slings forward a scavenged rifle. Red Hand, are you certain? It's a day for vultures, Victra mutters. She scans the sky, and I think she finally understands that for some reason her men aren't coming. They'll kill me and the Koldi. She glances at me. Might be worse for you, Gamma. I look at her belly. It's about ready to burst. Can you... She bolts, already 10 meters away and moving fast. Volga's on her tail. Shit! I struggle after them in the deep snow. They're incredibly fast. Victra's legs drive her like pistons through the forest and straight up a huge hill as she cradles her stomach. Volga ambles along behind her, struggling to keep up. Soon they're out of sight, and I follow only by their tracks. But soon those disappear as well. I search the ground, and something glows on a branch, a fading yellow handprint. There's more on the tree limbs heading right. Thermal ghosts. My hand drifts to my head. What is inside me? I climb up the tree and shimmy along its branches, hurling myself along them to follow until they drop down and the tracks continue through the snow. A stitch has made its way into my side by the time I catch up to them atop the hill. Volga's lying on her belly, wheezing for air. Victra's squatting behind a rock, peering down at the crash site. Bloody damn, I mutter as I fall into the snow beside them. Told you she'd spot the tracks, Victra says to Volga. Volga looks at me in confusion, then points at Victra's belly. How fast are you without that? It would be rude to brag. Still heaving for air, I pull myself up on a rock to look over. The shuttles are just setting down. No thermal readouts come this time. Several dozen shouting reds pour out the back. I hand Victra my oculars. She pushes them away as if I insulted her. I pull them up to look through them, but Volga takes them away to use for herself. Muttering, I watch with my naked eyes as the reds search the interior of the crash site. A lone figure stands apart from the rest of them. Well, damn my eyes, Victra says with narrowing eyes. The chief bitch herself. What in Jove's name is she doing here? Who? I ask. Victra considers, then refuses to answer. Volga's gone stiff. I reach to take my oculars back. Volga surrenders them reluctantly. Victra snatches them away. Doesn't matter, she says. Let her see, Volga says. She has a right. See what? Time to go, Victra says. Give me the oculars. I snatch at them, but she pushes me off like a child. Simmering, I glare back over the rock at the lone figure. There's an ache at the base of my skull. Slowly, the blurry figure begins to sharpen. Not magnify exactly, but become substantial, recognizable to my brain, even though she is little more than a pinprick. When she turns, I go very still. Her face is as I remember it, half beauty, half horrible scar. It was stained green by the gunfire that killed my brother when she pulled the trigger. I know that woman, I whisper. Volga frowns. How can you? Her name is Harmony, Victra says, watching me with curiosity. The bad seed of Ares, and the leader of the Red Hand. I see you remember her.
She attacked 121, I murmur.
Heat radiates down my spine, deepening until a pinching sensation grips the back of my skull. Pixels flash across my vision. My heart begins to race as my limbs prick with sensation. It's like I can hear everything around me. The gurgling of gastric fluids in Volga's empty stomach. The sound of each flake of snow falling. The purr of the distant ship. Even the movement of Victra's baby in her womb. Then the orb whispers again from Volga's side. Victra frowns at me, noting a change.
So your file reads. Kavix let her slither away.
She killed your brother, Volga asks. Scarce, yes? I told her that in the notes. My hearing reverts to normal. I nod my head, torn between confusion and rage. And my father, and my sister, and her children. Why is she here?
Her husband and children died in a mine my family owned, Victra says. That woman is why Severo's father ended up with his head in a box. Couldn't stand that Ares was a girl. As for how she knew I was here, she chews her lip in thought.
Do you want me to kill her? Volga asks, shifting her rifle.
No, Victra says.
I was not asking you.
I stare at Harmony. She's clearer even than before. She's lighting a burner as two men with long metal sniffer mod jobs instead of noses begin sniffing the snow.
Could you hit her from here?
Probably.
Don't mock the poor girl, Victra says. It's 1.2 kilometres. You'd need a drift scope in this wind. With that pulse rifle's muzzle flash, you'll bring those scuttles down on our heads.
This does not concern you, Volga tells the gold.
That woman has declared a blood war on my family, she says. It concerns me. And when they pick us off from those shuttles because you couldn't delay revenge, it'll concern all of us, including my baby.
Volga ignores her. Lyria, do you want me to kill her?
I see Harmony's head crack like an egg. I see blood smear on the snow. I see her gurgling through a hole in her throat, maybe one in her belly. But one look at Victra's belly and her knuckles going white as she grips her razor convinces me otherwise.
Would Victra kill us even before Volga fired?
No, I say. She's not worth it. Is it for the sake of the baby or Volga's life that I say that? Either way, it's not the response Victra expected.
Her hand leaves the hilt of her razor. Volga breathes in relief and sets her rifle on her knees. I feel a strange comfort knowing what she was ready to do for me despite the risk.
They'll find our tracks soon, Victra says. There are booms high overhead. The night sky spasms with light. Those Askamani, for lack of better classification, hacked the computer. I didn't think they could. They took control of the guns. They shredded the escape pods when you two were passed out. She grimaces. Had to turn off our beacon so the Pandora couldn't home in an orbital strike. With all that debris, my men aren't coming. Not soon enough, at least. We're on our own.
She squints south toward the dark forest. It stretches as far as the eye can see. Her hand drifts to her belly, her only concession to fear. I find myself admiring her coolness, even as I hate her. But in the presence of Harmony, that hate suddenly feels so very small.
We need to find a comrade or get a boat that can take us south across the sound, she says. And we need to go now.